The second parak of Masechtas Avos begins with the Mishnah Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, "Ezi derech yishar shiyova l'adam." Which is the right path a man should choose? Kashi tveres l'sa'a v'tveres l'min adam. A path that brings credit to the person who follows that path and brings him covet and honor from other people. So the Tana here, actually, in this Mishnah, divides itself into three sections. And the first section of the Mishnah teaches us what is the right path, how to live. And as I saw in the Sefer Imrei Chaim, he explains that as the Shulchan Aruch begins, Shvis Hashem Lenegdei Samid, a person has to have Hashem in front of him of all of the time. Not only when one is davening or learning does he have the obligation to have Hashem in front of him, but rather one has that obligation constantly. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Be'ema Eli Kol Hayoyim, all day long am I supposed to say, Aya Elokecha, where is Hashem? A person has to have Hashem in front of him all of the time. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch, as we said, Or Chaim, Simon Aleph, actually begins. Shvisi, as the Ramah says there, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdei Samid. But we look at the end of Or Chaim, the way the Ramah concludes Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim is by saying, V'toiv leiv mishte tamid. The Ramah is trying to teach us that not only when I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash do I have an obligation of Shvisi Hashem Lenegdei Samid, but even when am I by a mishta, do I have the obligation to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of me? And that's what Mordechai, Haman said about Mordechai. V'chol zeh enene shoveli, v'chol eis asheni roya es Mordechai Yehudi yoyshe b'shar hamelech. Haman's complaint against Mordechai was that even when Mordechai's yoyshe b'shar hamelech, where he's sitting in the king's palace, he's Mordechai Yehudi, he's a Jew. And therefore, the Tana begins, Ezu derech yishoro sheyiv aloi ha'adam. How should a person fulfill this Shvisi Hashem Lenegdei Samid? And tells us the Tana, Koshi tveres loy sa'a, v'tveres loy min adam. And of course, when we learn this Mishnah, it's a difficult Mishnah. Doesn't the Torah give us clearly a path? Doesn't the Torah teach us exactly what we're supposed to do? Says the Marsham, what the Tana is teaching us here is that there are times in life that we're not exactly sure what the right thing to do is. So when we're not exactly sure what the right thing to do is, how should we know what to do? So Masham says, the Tana tells us, think about what would be if somebody else were acting that way. What would be your attitude towards the person who's acting that way? If you would have a positive feeling, then that's the right thing to do. And if not, then maybe it's a proof that you're not on the right path. He says, this is what the Pasuk says in Mishlei. Hosim cha'itches peh, v'lazis v'sayim herchuk mecha. Act in a way that people shouldn't speak about you. Einecho l'noichach yabitu, v'afapecho yeshiru nagdecho. look at how other people act. And if those people, if they act that way and you think that that's the right way, that that's a proof that that's the right way to live. And I saw from the Divrei Yecheskel, he says that's pshat why the Tana chose the wording Eze derech yishar shiyova lo yadam. Shiyova lo yadam means which is the right way to choose. Why doesn't the Tana use the word Eze derech yishar? When we speak about a path, wouldn't it be more appropriate that the Tana should use the word Eze derech yishar shiyelech ba adam, that the person should walk on that path? So he says that what the Tana is teaching us is that Eze derech yishar shiyova lo yadam. The Tana is teaching us that each one of us has to be independent. Each one of us has to recognize that we have, each one of us have our own strengths and our own weaknesses. Eze derech yishara shiyova lo yadam. A person should choose his own path according to his own strengths and weaknesses. And in fact, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke from Nikolsburg would say that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Yotches Amid Be Kuf Yotches Amid Beis asks Avicha B'Mazor Tvei, what mitzvah was your father? What mitzvah? What avei was your father more careful with? What's pshat in that Mishnah? So he says that's pshat. Everybody has to pick a mitzvah to recognize his strength and his weakness and act accordingly. Moreover, the people I saw from the Merchayim that say that there are many different Ma'amori Chazal, and the different Ma'amori Chazal have different meanings sometimes. So people sometimes, Chas V'Sholem, could choose, I'm going to choose one Maimer Chazal over another Maimer Chazal. A person has to be honest in what he says. A person has to be honest in recognizing what are his strengths and what are his weaknesses and picking up on them. On the other hand, I saw from the Beis Yitzchak And maybe that's the dynamic of this Mishnah. The dynamic of the Mishnah is that even though the Tanner is teaching us that we have to, on one hand, choose our own path, but on the other hand, we also have to pay attention to what other people do and to what other people say. The famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that Flamin Aleph Omen Aleph, where a ger, the person who wanted to become a ger, came to Shammai, he should teach him Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas. He should teach him Al Regel Achas Kol HaTorah Kula. So he said, that's impossible. He came to Hillel, and Hillel said, Madaloch Sani L'chavruch Loisavit. What you don't want, somebody else, don't do to someone else. But the Beis Yitzchak has a different explanation. Madaloch sani l'chavrach. What you don't want your friend to do, loy savid, you shouldn't do either. Mirror yourself in your friend. And if you see your friend doing something and it would get you upset, then you should also not do that. That should be your guide. However, I saw Rav Shach says that even though we're learning here how important it is to pay attention to what other people say, never should that be at the expense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And that's why the Mishnah starts, Eizu derech yishor shiyova lo adam. What's the right path? The right path is tferes lo yisa. The first thing is look what Hashem wants. After you know for sure that what you're doing is acceptable in the eyes of Hashem, then also tferes lo min adam, then you should also think about what a person, what other people will think. life is a combination of tfer sloiser, but tfer sloimen adam. We should never forget what is first. Moreover, I saw from the Klozmager Rebbe, he says that many times people who want to accomplish, people who want to help Klal Yisrael, think that what's important for them is that they have to socialize with everybody and they have to connect with everybody, and like that they'll be able to influence other people. He says that is a very complicated path, and sometimes if you connect in the wrong way or with the wrong people, it could have a negative influence on you as well. On the contrary, he says, the Gemara says, "Kshayt atzmecha, v'kshayach kshayt acherim." First, think about yourself, and then everyone else. He says the famous mashal: if somebody goes down a chimney to clean the chimney, it's impossible that he won't get dirty as well. So first, therefore, says the Tana, first you have to do tferes loyseha. First, you have to think about what will make you act proper, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. And if you will act in that way, tferes loy min adam, then you will be able to have influence on other people. And there's a letter from the Chazon Ish, in the Igros Chazon Ish, Chele Gimel, Simen Kuf Samach Beis. He says very powerful words. V'mahoyu b'nei Torah melem b'Torah la'mitasa. B'nei Torah would seriously learn Torah. They're just sitting and learning would have a tremendous effect and influence on many people. From people not acting appropriately. With the fact that they have such a tremendous abundance of Kedusha, they would bring Tahara to the world. He says they don't have to necessarily go out and influence the world. Their being in the world has a tremendous positive influence. There were once a group of people who came to the Brisker Rav that they wanted to accomplish. So he said, the Brisker Rav said, there was once a Rav who wanted to fix the world. And he sent different letters and messages to different Rabbonim that they should join together with him to join in this goal. He got no response. So he decided he'll write letters to the Rabbonim in his country, also with no response. So he decided he'll try to work within his city. He also got no response. So he decided, you know, if I'm not getting any response in that way, let me work with myself. Let me start doing in my own life what's important. And he says that from that person, the positive influence that he emanated, that emanated from him, had such a tremendous effect. The Dubna Magnet says that it's very rare that we ever find that the Gra said speeches that the Gra gave Musar. But says the Dubna Magnet, he didn't have to. His being in the world was such a positive influence on the world, that was what the Gra accomplished. There was another story was when Chaim Brisker was still the Rav in the, it was still a Rosh Yeshiva in the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and Volozhin was a small town in Lithuania, and somebody came to meet him and was so impressed with him. He said, could you imagine if you were the Rav of a big city like Paris or Berlin, how much influence you would have? So the Reb Chaim said, you're misunderstanding the power of Torah. The power of Torah is that you could sit, that I could sit in this small little village of Elojin and learn Torah, and that Torah that I learn here in Elojin will have so much powerful influence over the entire world. And in fact, I saw Recheskel Abramsky explains that was the mistake that Korach made. Korach was a Levi, but Korach thought, I have the ability to do so much more than what I am doing. So Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi, you have such tremendous abilities. Rav Lechem, you could accomplish so much just by doing what you're supposed to do. Uvikashtem gam kahuna. Why do you also need to ask for kahuna? You could just accomplish with just doing the right thing, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. But then I saw that the Sheiris Menachem says, Ezu derech yishara sheyovelo ha'adam. He says, the Tana himself is giving us a answer. What is the right way to live? So he says, kol shehu. If you live your life as you are a kol shehu, if you live your life as you are a small person, you're nothing, then you will, in fact, be very successful. The Al-Shuch takes a different approach. He says that sometimes we're not exactly sure what is the right thing to do. So what he says you should do is kol shehu. You should just do a little. Try it out. Experiment if you're going on the right path. And if you start going that path, then you'll see if you're on the right path. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun Amud Beis, Lo'olam Yasek Odom B'Torah B'Mitzvos, Afilu Shelo L'Shmo. A person should do Torah Mitzvos Afilu Shelo L'Shmo, Shemitach Shelo L'Shmo, Bal L'Shmo. And that's what the Tanya is teaching us. Sometimes we start off, we have to start slow. So we have to pick the way which is Tferes Lo'Yisek. We always want to end up in a path which is Tferes Lo'Yisek, which brings Kavod Shemayim. But sometimes that's a difficult path to choose. And therefore the Tanya says, Tferes Lo'Yisek Adam, do what other people will praise you for. It's maybe not the right way, but Shemitoch Shaloi Lishma, by choosing that path at the beginning, you will ultimately reach the right path. The Tanya of our Mishnah, the second part of our Mishnah, continues by teaching us, Vavazor b'mitzvah kala b'chamura, she'en ati yedeya matan tzcharen shal mitzvahs. You should be careful with a light mitzvah, with an easier mitzvah, as you are with a serious mitzvah, because we don't really know what really reward we get for every mitzvah. V'havim mechashiv hefsim mitzvah k'neged tzcharoi. Make the calculation what you will lose and what you will gain the schar aver k'neged hefseder by doing mitzvahs and not doing averus. So here, the Tanya teaches us the importance of every mitzvah. So I saw from Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Leib Bloch in the Shiur Das, he helps us understand what should be our attitude. He says, just like when we look at the human being is made up of so many different parts and so many different organs. And we want the person to be healthy. Would a person ever take the attitude and say that this aver, this part of my body, is not that important? I don't care if it's not in perfect health. So too, he says, is our attitude supposed to be to mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are what make us who we are. And just like every person wants to be completely healthy, so too should be his attitude to mitzvahs, that he wants to have all the mitzvahs because that represent our health. Rabbi Aaron Cutler in the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron explains this. He says, sometimes we look at different behaviors and we don't even necessarily see that they should be an Aveira. But if we think about that behavior, we will come to the recognition that they indeed represent very serious flaw. He gives an example. Chemdas Mammon. Let's say you have a person who has a tremendous desire for money. So, we're not going to say that that's something which is extremely exemplary, but would we say that that's a terrible Aveira? The answer is that absolutely. Because what does Chemdas Mammon represent? Chemdas Mammon represents a lack of emunah. If everybody would believe that what they have is what they're supposed to have, and what they don't have is what they're not supposed to have, they would be happy with what they have. He says, moreover, what does Chemdas Mammon bring to? He says, what Chemdas Mammon brings to is Sinas Chinam. And that's why he explains that even though by the second Beis HaMikdash, they were learning Torah, they were acting as religiously. But if they have this Chemdas Mammon, it represents Sinas Chinam. It represents a lack of Emunah. And from that, it could only lead to terrible results. But then I saw Rav Volbo takes this a step further. Rav Volbo says that what we're learning over here is that a person is not just judged by the big things. A person is judged even by the small thing. He says, sometimes, and we spoke about this a few moments ago, people want to change the entire world. There's no need to change the entire world. That's not the way we will be judged. The way we will be judged is by the small things. By the small things are what represent who is the person. He says, let's look at medicine. When it comes to medicine, he says, it's just a small amount of medicine. If administered properly, they will show who we really are. Rabbi Yeruchim has a whole different approach. He says, Kala v'chamura is not to be understood as a big mitzvah or a small mitzvah. He says the definition of a kala and chamura is the way we perform our mitzvahs. Do you perform your mitzvahs kala in a non-serious manner, or do you perform your mitzvahs by chamura? Do you perform your mitzvahs in a serious way? Another pshat that he says, also a very, very beautiful pshat, he says that kala v'chamura represents as follows. He says a person who's hungry isn't going to be picky about what food he eats. Whatever food he gets, he'll be very satisfied that Baruch Hashem, he got something to eat. He says that's what we're learning here about mitzvahs. If our attitude to mitzvahs is that the mitzvahs are important to us, then we're not going to start choosing and thinking, this mitzvah, yes, this mitzvah, not. Every mitzvah will be very, very important to us. If we see that there's a person who starts choosing which mitzvah to pick and which mitzvah not to do, that shows that he doesn't have the right attitude towards mitzvahs. And this concept of attitude I saw a beautiful story from the Abt Rav. There's once a person who was once very wealthy, and then he lost all of his money. And after he lost all of his money, he came to the Abt Rav and he asked the Abt Rav, what should I do? I lost all my money. So Abt Rav said, my recommendation to you is that the first business deal that comes your way, you should choose. he came and he leaves Dr. Rav and he's traveling home and he comes to an inn. And in that inn there were sitting diamond dealers, people who work with diamonds, with expensive stones. And they're sitting around the table looking at the stones, and he sits down with them. And they ask him, do you also want to do business? He says, yes. So he says, how much money do you have? So he says, I only have 1 ruble. So they laughed at him. You can't buy a diamond for 1 ruble. But he said, but there was one person there. He says, you know what? I'll tell you what I'll sell you for 1 ruble. I'll sell you my Olam Haba. So he remembered what the Abdur Rav told him, that I should do the first deal that comes to my hands, and he did it. And they wrote a document that this person is selling this person his entire Olam Haba. And everybody there, all the other people there, were sitting and laughing at him. This Jew is left, unfortunately, only with 1 ruble. And he's willing to spend his last ruble to buy the Olam Haba of this other individual. This person who sold his Olam Haba comes home. He obviously wasn't a religious person. And he tells his wife what happened that day, that he sold his Olam Haba for 1 ruble. His wife says, I refuse to live with you. I refuse to live with a person that lives, gave away his whole Olam Haba. He sees what happened. So he goes to find back this individual who bought his Olam Haba. And he says, I'll buy back for a ruble. He says, nothing doing. And then he knows he has a problem. His wife's not going to let him home. To make a long story short, he was only able to get back the Olam Haba document for 1,000 ruble. And he gave him the 1,000 ruble. Came home and he told his wife what happened. His wife was satisfied. She obviously had wanted that. But she looked at this somewhat with difficulty. How did this person do something that he bought for 1 ruble and didn't sell it back until he got 1,000 ruble? So she herself went to the Abdur Rav and asked the Abdur Rav, what happened here? So the Abdur Rav said, when your husband originally sold his Olam Haba for 1 ruble, it really wasn't even worth that 1 ruble. But when he bought it back for 1,000 ruble, and he showed that that is so important to him, then it was worth 1,000 ruble. The mitzvahs are not kala and chamura. The mitzvahs are the way we looked at the mitzvahs. If we look at the mitzvahs as the kala, then they are kala. But if we look at the mitzvahs as they are chamura, as they are serious, then they are indeed serious. One more pshat. What is the definition of kala v'chamura? The definition of kala v'chamura is to look about what will come out from the mitzvah. If a person will recognize that out of his mitzvahs, there will be tremendous influence in this world, there will be kedusha v'tahara in the world, then the mitzvah is a great mitzvah. But if we don't have the right attitude to the mitzvahs, and we think, yes, we're doing what we're supposed to do, but it really doesn't have that powerful influence, then the mitzvahs are kala. We have to know how to look at the mitzvahs. The Tana concludes the Mishnah with the third din. Hestaka b'shloshe dvarim, v'enata bolo de'avera, da'malam, ma'alam cha, ayin roya, v'oizun shemas, v'kol masecha v'sefer nechtovim. Remember these three things and you won't do averis. You have to know that there's something that there's an eye that sees, there's an ear that hears, and all your deeds are recorded in the Sefer. So it's famous that the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Shem Olam, in the Sefer Shem Olam says that And already in his time, there were so many different new technologies that helped us understand this Mishnah. He said there was the telescope that gave us the ability to see so far away. There was the telephone that gave us the opportunity to hear from one side to the other side. There were cameras that were able to capture everything that happened at any moment. There were tape recorders that were able to record whatever you say. All of them was created, said the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Shem Olam, to help us see how true the words of these of this Mishnah are. But Rabbi Eliel Apian points out that the Tana doesn't say ve'enat bo la'aveiro. He says ve'enat bo l'de'aveiro. He says a person. He says it with a mashal. He says there was once somebody who was in jail, and he ran away, and he was then captured. He was recaught. After he was recaught, he was standing in the street, and everybody recognized that as much trouble as he was originally for whatever he did that put him into jail, he was only all the more so in more trouble now because he had tried to escape. And he's standing in the street, and people tell him, well, why don't you escape again? You're going to be in such serious trouble. He says, I would love to escape, but I can't escape because I'm tied to the police. The policeman handcuffed me to him. Says Rabbi Eliel Apian, not only is a person not supposed to do averus, what we must particularly be concerned with is ain atabo l'day avera. Don't become captured to the avera. Don't fall into the hands of the avera. A person does averus. Of course, we shouldn't do averus, but a person does averus. But worse than doing averus is not to come l'day avera. A person should come to recognize that what happens by doing an avera, and that the Tana says, how do you know that? What will prevent you from doing that? These three things. Ayin roi v'oiz and shemas v'chol masecho b'sefer nechtovim. So I saw from Rabbi Aaron Walkins at Tzal in the Sefer Metzach Aaron, he explains that people think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Olam Ha'emes has an accountant. And on every individual, he does a calculation. Do you have more mitzvahs or do you have more averus? He says the Tana of our mission is coming to teach us that that's not what happens. What do you call it? That's not what the Tana of our Mishnah means to teach us. What the Tana of our Mishnah comes to teach us is v'chol masecho b'sefer nechtovim. All of your mitzvahs and all of your averus are written down. It's not that there's a tally at the end that you end up on the black or do you end up in the red. For every mitzvah we do, we're going to get schar. And for every avera that we do, there's an oynish, and nothing is forgotten. To the degree that Rav Shach Zatzal related an incredible story from the wife of the Gra. He said, the wife of the Gra would go every week together with a friend of hers to collect staka for individuals in the town of Vilna who did not have money to live with. And one time they were walking in the street, and there was an individual who normally they collected staka from, but this individual was on the other side of the street. So one of them pointed, look, that individual is on the other side of the street. Let's cross the street to go to ask him for the money that he always gives us for tzedakah. These two women had also made an agreement with each other that whichever one of them would leave the world first would come back to the other person and tell that person what happens in the other world. So the Vilna Gaon's wife's friend passed away first. And she came back to the Vilna Gaon's wife in a dream. And she told her, we made an agreement, I'm going to tell you everything that's happening in the Olam HaEmes. She said, you remember that time when we were walking in the street and you pointed a finger across the street to that individual saying, oh, he's over there. We're both going to get schar in the Olam HaEmes for collecting tzedakah, for helping these poor individuals. But you're going to get an extra schar just for pointing the finger. Every one of our mitzvahs is taken very seriously in the Olam HaEmes. Even just pointing a finger is nechtovim, is written down for us to have schar in the Olam HaEmes.